Buongiorno, buonasera, buon pomeriggio. Hello, Mike. How are you?
Hello, mate. Hello. Yeah, really good. Thank you. How are you doing? You well?
Very good. Very good. Just end up chatting with a really good lad, a good mate. This guy here.
The DJ.
The DJ. Fun fact, we didn't speak about music because we had 45 minutes going deep in all over all the situation, but we're going to speak about music another time with Pietro Ceccarelli, which is now premiering the new podcast, but stop that, watch it later on, stay with us now on this, right? Mr. Gamber and Phantom already in the chat. We are everywhere as usual. Live on YouTube for the Monday podcast, and you can listen to us on Spotify, all the platform later this week. That's it.
Boom.
So, shall we just go straight and dig in into market, rugby market, or shall we start with the game, Mike? What do you think?
It's like asking, you know, the good news, bad news. Which one do you want first? I always want the bad news first, and then we'll end it on a happy tone, shall we?
Let's move to Ireland versus Italy, second round of the Six Nations to start. Mike, we were together in the live streaming, so we watched together the game. But your thoughts about the game, and then we can go deep into some situations.
I mean, overall, I expected 20-30 points if we weren't able to relent the machine that is the green machine, the new green machine, like the box, which is Ireland. And I fully expected it to be a tough day at the office if we weren't able to stop them. I am a little bit disappointed that we got nilled, I've got to be honest, but at the end of the day, probably the best team in the world. Let's call a duck, probably best team in the world. We're not there yet.
Yeah, we are not there yet. We're still fighting. Of course, we are here still supporting the team.
Always.
And we're going to keep talking about this. Yes, probably what hurts more is the fact that we didn't score. Our attacking was almost nullified just because we went to zero. Neither we took those 3 points at the beginning, and we struggle on the set piece, all our MVP. So that's probably a big thing. We were trying to build on something that we show during the last weekend, England weekend, Italy England, when we were in Rome. But tough situation there for second row, for props, for everybody.
Yeah, it was a tough day at the office for everyone. I think, you know, one thing that I take solace out of, right, is that we as a team need to raise our general standard to compete with the best team in the world, right? Like, it's not something that we didn't know about as Italian fans.
Of course.
You know, it's like anyone who thought we were going to go in and put 20 on Ireland, unfortunately, we're not there yet, right? So it's something that, you know, it was a tough lesson, but I think actually, and I said it in our chat as well, if there was any point for us to almost like do a full audit of everything that's wrong, or everything that needs improvement of our game, Ireland basically gave us everything that we need to improve to be competitive, right? Like everything, line speed. Like they obviously we're going to go for a full breakdown, but we learned a lot of lessons against Ireland, which is if we can take some positives out, that's a big positive for me. You know?
Of course, the defeat is there, but you have to learn from defeats to be stronger, to be better. Today, Mr. Coach Moretti put something really interesting on the let me check on one of the stories, which was a Winston Churchill quote. Then let's take it like it is. But success is not final. Failure is not fatal. It is the courage to continue that counts. Probably these are the right words to explain a little bit what we have to do, because we want more consistency, but they know what they're working on. And I like to have seen Lamaro pretty mad at the end of the during the press. I see him like he was going to release some of the pressure, speaking a little bit differently than usual, which is great for a captain to advise, to point some questions on the work. They're doing a lot of work. They know they effed up or whatever in some areas, but they're still working and they're fighting for it. So yeah, they're the first people to be mad.
Yeah, and you know, like we can pick a million different sort of proverbs, and you know, but the one that sticks, and you know, credit to our captain, one that's probably best used here is Rome wasn't built in a day, right? Like we have to go through these processes. We need to learn, you know, this pain to be a better team. But I think it's something that we have those lessons now. Like we've got a sheet of everything that we need to improve. We're good. It's now is the point. Coming up to next game, now is the point where Quesada proves his capability as a test level head coach. Like now is the point where we're like, okay, scratch what happened. It was a lesson. What are we going to do with this lesson? Like these notes, are we going to learn from them? Are we going to improve on them? Are we going to put them in place against France? How do we compare against France? Positive outcome, great coach. Negative outcome, still needs a bit of work. Do you see what I'm saying? So yeah, that's sort of where I'm at.
Yeah, of course. And let's go into the game. Which areas you think improve or stay on a regular form that you want? Somehow? Well, tell me, go ahead.
For me, it's tough because obviously if you look at stats and you base everything on stats, you see 209 tackles and 89% tackle success rate is great.
Right? It's good. Right.
It's good. But passively, so every time that they were carrying, they were making yards, right? We needed quicker line speed. So ironically, I say what got us in trouble was our defense, even though statistically it was good, right? Like statistically it looked, you know, near the 90% mark that test defenses should be. But I think it's something that we were too passive. We weren't able to slow down their ruck enough. They were too effective with less resources in our rucks. And yeah, it's just defensively and offensive rucks as well. So on that,
there is a Lucio. Big Lucio is doing great work already on the rack, number of attacking players in the rack in attack and defense. So shout out to Lucio, big one that is already doing a lot of good stuff. I just had a look on some stats and now we're going to go maybe something we can define about this game, because we didn't have a lot of possession in general, attacking possession in their opposite. But maybe possession was something, but far away from the 22, right?
Territory-wise, yeah, I understand.
Something that I liked in some way, maybe it's the aerial battle wasn't so bad, but probably because we were not so tested there during the game, like box kicking, going to catch back the ball. They went straight more playing, more moving back long, right?
Yeah. That I mean,
an era that went better, I think.
Yeah. I agree. And you know, we were talking in the game, but for you guys who missed the watch along, at half time, I think Pani kicked the ball four times. One, he managed to, it was an up and under, he managed to retain possession. Once, it went to low and he managed to monster low. One was just a bad kick. But like, there was, if we're looking at net positives, there was a net positive there. Capuazzo was far better in the air than I would have given him credit for. So I'll hold my hands up. Fair play, right? But
yeah, today is the but day.
So this is now the trade-off, right? If we're looking at test fullbacks, what is more important? Is it more important to have a monster boot like loaded, kicking long around the back, forcing defenses to turn, giving time for you guys to have set defense in midfield? Or is it counter-attack, someone with an eye for a gap? Like, this is where we're finding ourselves with our selection at the back, if we're taking Tommy Allen out of it, you know?
Look, Gabriele is saying he's happy how we are going, because we are without five players in the tight five, let's say in the scrum: Riccioni and Ferrari, Lamb, Lorenzo, Cannone and Negri. So probably some of the lessons have been taken by the former debutants like Izegor, maybe Zuliani. We're going to see a little bit more of Vincent. So we probably knew some of those players like Izegor and Zuliani, that we can understand also why Seb Negri is still so important in this team. When you need a big carrier just off nine and smashing, and when you have to adapt to those situations, like Izegor can do that kind of game because he can do it like a crash ball just off the line out. He did it against Munster, that kind of game. But also Zuliani has to do something different from his skill set. Probably he's going to be more all around the players. And that is something that we have to think about.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think as well, we find ourselves in a position where now, like, we're a test rugby team, and you think that like the skill sets of players are really well developed, but actually when we're playing players out of position out of necessity, or playing players out of role, which is probably better. Yeah, role game plan. We find ourselves a little bit exposed, and hopefully, obviously, this is something Casada's realised. We've got a skills coach now, right? So we've got someone specific to look at skills. And
we are back on a skill coach, because we didn't have a skill coach during the World Cup too. So.
Yeah, we had a consultant instead.
Yes.
I'm genuinely, like, I messaged you this morning, didn't I? I was like, how do you feel after yesterday? Because I think it was a little bit sore for us. We're fans, obviously. We want our nation, we want our rugby team to do well. But this morning, I'm okay with it. Better than I was yesterday. and I think it's because we've had time, you know, like
to settle down and think.
Yeah, like, it's sometimes yes, we had a poor game. Lineup needs to be fixed immediately, right? But that's not because necessarily, you know, like, the thrower was in the wrong, or, you know, the jumpers were in the wrong, or if there was a miscommunication. It was, Ireland was so good.
Ireland was good, but we have to rethink some strategies around that. We were good on the quick, of course, the line out with on the prop, passing the ball.
Yeah, sure.
And then,
yeah,
of course, we have to understand how to move better. Ruzza was always really able to move front, back, from the middle, going to the tail, something that Zambonin is trying to do. He's doing it really well at Zebre. We have to say that, because it's true. Great improvement there. But of course, if you play with Ruzza, you know, if you're going to put a lock, the opposite lock, like Itoje 2 weeks ago, I remember once, he's just, sorry if you hear my cats, but they're fighting.
I know, you're fine.
Yeah, the classic. Let me just throw them something. They just stop, because if not, I'm ready to send them something and see what's going to happen. Yes, no hard things, but
gloves. No, you're fine. So I completely agree, man. I think
Toshi called him on 1-1, he was saying 2 weeks ago, and we know everything is on Ruzza. Last Six Nations, we were really good in the lineout, but still was Ruzza the most catch in the air, 42, I think.
Yeah, he had more than the first two combined, didn't he?
Yeah. And now we are down on 72% our efficiency in the lineout after this game, which has to be improved quick against Woki, that is going to jump in front every lineout in 2 weeks.
Doesn't get easier, does it? Just doesn't get easier.
No, they're gonna put two players, Antonio, maybe if he's playing, or somebody else, just lifting by himself, walking on the front. That is gonna be. I can say now in 2 weeks, that is, if he's gonna play Wookiee, he's gonna be there jumping up. But hey, they're gonna find new strategies. They have 2 weeks to think about that.
Well, that's it. There's time, isn't there? It's not like you know, it's a week or 6 days turnaround and we're getting two training sessions in. We've got 2 weeks, we've got a long list of stuff that we need to look at ahead of, you know, France, who, let's be honest, they're going to be looking at this game like licking their lips a little bit, especially after, you know, being, let's be honest, like, sort of fairly fortuitous at the weekend. Like, being honest, they're underplaying, right? So they're going to look at us as a reset, and we need to look at them as a reset. Different positions, obviously, because they managed to have a win. But I think positively, because I trust Quesada, I trust what he's doing, and I trust his opinion. I you know, until he gives me reason not to, I trust everything that he's doing. I trust his selection. I trust his, you know, like, trust everything. He's got 2 weeks. He's got 2 weeks to try and plug some holes and try to maybe adapt against our position slightly better, and that's the fact, mate.
Yeah, against a French team too, which is something that he really knows well. He knows player. I mean, see, until last year, he was analyzing those players, top 14 players. So maybe he has a couple of tricks there. Doucy, he was the former Racing 1992 skill coach. So yes, a lot, but. What we can improve, of course, I think sometimes the attacking numbers in the rack, we have to be efficient in the rack, because we have two areas where there is a fierce battle: the air and the ground. The ground is the breakdown, the rack. So we have to be quick, putting off the ball, players in, players out, and sometimes we are still lacking. Samuel is back from the morning. See a little bit of people.
Yeah, people licking their wounds a little bit. It's funny that obviously we started with Winston Churchill, and you said fight him from the land, fight him from the air, fight him from the sea. We're just gonna fight him everywhere, mate. That's let's be honest. But yeah, I think if I was Quesada, first things first, like the easy stuff. Right, if we're going to categorize it and listen,
easy stuff. Sure, let's go.
I'm sure, obviously, your coach, you would have done it in far more depth than I would have. But stuff like line speed, right? Like if you're fatigued, okay, fair enough. Like you have an excuse, but you can't really be tired. Like, and I said to you, they looked tired. They weren't bringing any line speed, and when it was, there was dog legs everywhere. The same way that we exploited against England, they were exploiting against us. We looked physically fatigued. We looked physically tired. So line speed, that's an easy thing to fix, right? Like find your slowest man, make sure everyone's running at the same speed as your slowest man. That's simple, right? That's how it should be. One, nice and easy. I think this is where it gets more technical, and I won't say more easy, but like breakdown, right? Easy attack, offensive breakdowns, right? Each person has a role. Make sure you're executing correctly so we're getting quick recycling of the ball.
There are a lot of adjustment to do in some areas. Of course, this is now Lucio just came in, but maybe he dig into that, as so he knows more than me at the moment, that I'm just scrolling through now and see. I saw a couple of stuff that I didn't like. I can tell you here, there was a couple of phases where we had like four players in the rack, two players, three players, four players, three players, three players. This is the consecutive racks where we have all those numbers in.
Can we see how many they had against us? One.
101001. Casey, nobody, Tom O'Toole, nobody, Joe McCarthy, Kylan Doris. So what does it mean? That, of course,
over-resourcing. At least
that multi-phase and everything, those segments of possession for us, they were an area where we have to be better, because of course if they put one player, we put four, of course they're gonna have always an overload in defense more than in attack, no? Overlap, overload, whatever. And that is the area. Probably is this adjustment into the new, like we were talking with Leo, no, in the chat, organizing, here we go. He knows the data more than me. Super efficient, apparently, of course. So trust this guy. Trust this guy here saying what he's saying at the moment. And now we're going to go through a couple of questions that I saw in the chat. Feel free to ask us any question.
Before we do, Otto, can I ask you a quick question?
Go ahead.
So with the Rux, right, we're over-resourcing at times, right? And clearly we were under-resourcing at times because we also lost ball there. So is that, in your opinion, is that a decision-making issue, or is that a systematic issue in terms of this is how Quesada wants to play and we need to work it out a little bit better? Do you think we're just saying, oh, let's fly into that ruck because we're scared of losing possession, and it's actually the wrong decision, you know?
I think sometimes it's the timing of the supporting player, how they arrive, how they clean out. Because if you see, the efficiency goes through working the less as possible for the best, in my opinion. So you have to be quick. So you have to do 2 seconds action, 3 second action in attack, in support, whatever. Be efficient, go out. So that is probably the key. Think about the try that they scored, the first try scored when Capozzo is alone in that 4-1. He's trying to close the option on the outside. But if you look at that action, you can see, as Leo said too, the rack, what they do, they go over the rack, they push more the supporting player, and they cut out Garbisi in that occasion. So the time Garbisi adjusts again on the line, Casey pick and go against him, Capozzo has to close that gap, but there were 5 people in the last meters. Of course, it's going to be easy for them. It's textbook what Ireland did.
That
we have to do. But for me, technicality, working on the ground for the carrier, it's going to be key. Putting quick this ball out, ready to be played.
Presentation
and time. Timing of the supporting players doing the right job. Sometimes we did the right job cleaning up people, cleaning up. Think about last year, McColsky try. We clean up too much in the last five meters in defense. They pick and go, they rush against Varney, they scored the try with McColsky last year. Their technicality around the area, the battle area, the ground, no, the Churchill ground.
The church. Wait, we need to put a tweet out.
We can put that.
Yeah. We'll tag him in. We're gonna fight. From the ground.
I will do it.
Rude not to.
Couple of questions here. Any info about Fusco injury return, Christopher? Probably we're gonna know more this week because Zebre is gonna play against Edinburgh. So we're gonna know more, maybe with a new bollettino medico, no? With the new injury information and stuff.
Oof.
Oh, wow. Meno male che l'ha chiuso così. Let's close. That's fun. You know, don't worry.
Anyway, I think there's... I think with
Full Score...
Anyway, I think with Full Score, he was invited, right? So if he was invited as an extra man, we can assume that it's not a long-term injury. Because I don't think he would have invited him to camp if he's going to go have surgery and stuff to you know, carry tackle bags. I think it's because he wants him to learn whatever structures he's putting in place. So we don't know, but my gut feeling, and this is all just speculation, my gut feeling is that it's probably not going to be long-term. He might be available at the latter end of the Six Nations, but who knows? Like Otto says, we'll learn a little bit more. We'll learn a little bit more this weekend.
We learn more. It's gonna be interesting. As we said, for example, some players, some of our players are already in their club and they're gonna play. Talking about, of course, the last guest on Fratelli di Rugby podcast, which is Pietro Ceccarelli. Pietro, we just recorded a couple of hours ago with him, and he is in Perpignan because this weekend he's gonna play. So bad stuff for us, but of course when this is gonna stop, guys, go listen this. We have 10 minutes with Pietro Ceccarelli in English and then we move on the Italian, but of course subtitles coming soon, so you're gonna enjoy something. But Pietro Ceccarelli is gonna play this week. Let's see with Zebre Benetton how they're going to manage those players. Maybe tomorrow we're going to know more. This week we're going to know more about the released player.
Yeah, yeah. And I also see we've got a question about Dino. I believe Dino has had an injury to his shoulder, right? So he came back from what was quite a bad knockout.
And it was really bad the way he went out. Yeah.
And then from memory, he scored a try, and while scoring a try, he got injured, wasn't it? But that's what happened, I think, shoulder. But I'm not 100%. I'm not 100%. Don't quote me on that. I will get back to you, Eduardo. But I think it was he injured his shoulder, I think.
It was all about maybe the scuff. How you call it? The cuff?
The rotator cuff.
Probably that was some problem, and I think that's correct, said Lucio.
Yeah, he's got a lot of rotator cuff, that man. He's a big boy.
So think about players Favretto, Zanon and Bruno to be released to the franchise this weekend. He's thinking that Kalex, ciao. And those players, of course, maybe the players they didn't play for 2 weeks, maybe they're gonna be able to. Let's think about who they have in this moment. Favretto can be in the second row more than as number eight because they have still Tim Stowers and Alafi'i. So Benetton probably Favretto. Maybe we're gonna see him as a lock for this week. There is him, Elis Naiman, Gideon something. I have always problems saying that name. Marin, Samuele, of course. Marin is, I think, is going to be released too for this game. Zanon and Fekitoa, I think they're going to be the pair for Leinster. I have this idea in my mind. Or you think you're going to play Menoncello or Brex this game?
I think it'd be stupid to be honest. I think like they've just had
for us, yes, of course.
Yeah, I would like to think that Bortolami and Quesada have some sort of discussion and there's an agreement. I don't know, right? I've been wrong before, but it would make sense for them to have Fekitoa and Zanon because although they're second choices in quotations, right? They're still world class players. So like it. Oh, Drago, Phantom, good shout.
12.
Yeah.
Number 12. Yeah. I don't know Riera now how is the situation too from back from injury at the beginning of the year, but of course they have at least four choices there before picking Menoncello and Brex at the moment, at least for this weekend, I think.
Samuel is asked an interesting one.
Garbisi, Alessandro, huh?
Let's talk about him.
Okay. Alessandro Garbisi was dropped for the team this week. I don't think he's going to fly to Dublin. My thoughts, I think that is going to be the game of Uren Duvenage. Experience plus experience for that game. You don't need to put more pressure on that guy at the moment.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Yeah, no, he needs to build confidence.
My thoughts, my 2 cents on that situation. Maybe Garbisi is good that he work on some skills at the moment, maybe some different understanding and staying with I think they're staying with the team, right? If some players go, some players stay together, right?
Yeah, they'll stay in camp.
Maybe I think camp can be helpful in that way. On the other side, for Bruno, so we can end on that side, Bruno is going to be interesting to see him I think Yes released and seeing how he's playing, because he didn't play a lot of
game time. About Jesse as well, like Jesse will most certainly get released, right?
Yeah, Jesse, Bruno, they're gonna go back, but because Mike, who they gonna put there? That's the point. They have Gregory Prisciantelli, Trulla, but then you don't have any cover. I think
Is Trulla back for injury?
I hope so and think so. Maybe we can check. I'm trying to go through some other information, if I can see somebody walking or not walking on their Instagram stories and stuff. Let's see.
Yeah.
For example, some players, it's pumped, of course, because... Eduardo asking about Cannone. Seems at least he's going to miss the Six Nation. Not the season, maybe, but the nation. And Gabriel, of course, is pointing about the game, how important it is for having a strong tight five to be dominant in some areas. No scrum, let's see, tight five not only playing in open play rack after rack, but also just really traditional, the front row pushing and the locks jumping and stealing lineouts or putting pressure, right? So yes, I agree.
Samuele, on your point, I think Bernasconi's injured. I think I'm not 100%, but because again, I don't know how long, depending on the grade of the tear of the hamstring, but he came off with a torn hamstring. Like after, again, similar to Dino, he got knocked out, failed the HIA. Following week, he got subbed off early, I think. But well, that's the $1 million question. I think
Maile, right?
Yeah.
And it's then gonna be Suya Maile.
Is Frangini still with
Benetton? No, he's with Mogliano at the moment. I'm gonna go back and see if I'm finding on the news of Benetton Rugby if there's some news about players, at least from a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, Alex has just said Bernasconi is injured. Frangini will have to play. Yeah, that's the tough one, isn't it, mate?
Who's gonna play Zani from the bench?
Zani Hooker. I'm hoping he's fit. Like I feel like every person we're pulling out the hat here, sadly, is injured. That's a good shout, Alex. If that's the case, then yeah. here we go. So
Gallo, Maile, Pasquali, Calex. Let's highlight this.
Yeah.
Gallo, Maile, Pasquali, Kogelenberg, Snyman, Pettinelli, Alavi, Stowers. Oh, three number eight almost there. Pettinelli, Alavi, Uren, Albornoz, Ratave, Zanon, Fikitoa, Mendy, Padovani make completely sense, this team. Then probably the bench can be lacking a little bit of quality, we can say, maybe, or game time. I think about Watson can be... I'm thinking on the bench, and yes, it's still a good team considering the players. Drago, Watson, let's say Duvenagen, there are three. So if you go with a 5+3, that's the situation there. Yes, and then
Nemer.
Then you're gonna have also Lazzaroni and maybe Favretto there.
And then Zani Zani at hooker, you're saying, right? And
Zani then, hooker, so yeah, maybe something there. Who's on the tired? Right side?
That's it. I don't know, mate.
Who's there?
I think because obviously Ferrari injured, right?
Ferrari's injured, right?
I wonder when he's coming back as well. Like, obviously, we wouldn't want to throw him into test level straight away. So if he's been all right, maybe this is a game where,
nothing here.
Yeah,
I
think it's going to be tough, Tighthead. I think we could just say that, right? It's going to be tough. Okay, Alex, Zani,
Alongi, wow.
The guy
was missing there. Yes, Alongi, guys. Yes, Favretto Lazzaroni, Duvenaghi, Umaga, Drago, too. Absolutely.
So, we are there. Yeah, yeah. Okay, cool. Cool. That's good. But I mean,
Crafton is coming back from injury, so maybe we're going to see him soon coming back. Lazzaroni, I didn't know, was injured. Ah, bad. But, man, that's it for now for them. Of course, Zabri, they're missing less because they have the full team. Let's say on the other side, Zambonin, if he's going to be released, it's going to be Sisi Krumov. There, maybe De Leo is going to have a little bit of space in the second row. And then full back row, front row is the same. If there's no Manfredi, it's going to be BG Ribaldi. I mean, not big difference there. 9, 10, 12, 13, and everything else, they're going to be there, the Zebre. Jesse, yeah. I'm sure he's going to be released.
Yeah, almost certainly. So we're going to say...
you can play Paea Gregory in theory too. Paea on a wing, Gregory on the other one if you want. And you keep Prisciantelli Trulla in the back if he's not injured. Or if not, you play Montemauri 10-15.
Yes, yes. And then BG.
BG, the best thrower, the best percentage of the... At the moment, for the Italian hooker, yes.
Il trattore.
Good
question. So,
vado.
Vai.
Vado. As someone who is not expert on rugby, what is the main issue with our scrum? Our under 20 sides normally compete well and even dominate in the scrum, even against the bad side. But then, an example, Mr. Gallorini is playing with Mogliana against Vicenza and Petrarca, and Opoku and company is playing up. He's playing with the Saints.
Sale.
Right? With Sale, yeah. And he's playing another one. I'm going to put another name there. The young prop of the Queens, Finn Baxter.
So,
Finn Baxter, 2 years ago.
Yeah, can I make a point about this? Finn Baxter, 2 years ago, was getting destroyed
by Nicolai.
By Rizzoli, because he was a tight head.
Right.
Now he's playing loose head, right? Now he's playing loose head, but he was playing tight head. He's getting absolutely destroyed. Look at what's happened to Rizzoli and Genovese, right? Because they're unfortunately not getting game time. And then you look at Quinns. And Baxter has been getting game time, premiership, carpool of the different sort of areas underneath. So exactly like Otto said, that is exactly the issue. It's the transition between underage and professional. That's it. That's there's no science behind it.
Just talking about Baxter, man. He was man of the match against Racing 92 in Champions Cup last year.
Who was that, sorry?
He was a man of the match last week. Baxter.
So, oh, Finn. Yeah.
Racing 92 in Champions Cup last year. So important, like un attacco, ci metti, like a milestone there. Okay,
yeah.
Boom, you can do that. So transition, Christopher, it's a big issue for us. And I'm happy to see some of those players having more game time, at least at Zebre, because it's not happening so much at Benetton. Benetton has a different vision at the moment. Let's see in the next years. If you've seen the under-20s, you have seen Scalabrin playing, right? So maybe Scalabrin is playing with Vicenza. Hopefully, next year, we're going to see him playing in URC, Benetton, Zebre, wherever, but trying to fight and to compete on a different level, not just playing, okay, you're going to play, you're going to come and play, just because the level is lower.
Yeah, and Christopher, just one last point. There's two different philosophies between the two franchises. So Zebre play the young players, expose them to the, you know, the best level, and maybe they don't have as much resources as Benetton have in the backfield, right, to develop the players. Benetton have this monster big roster. The players are getting loaned out to lower league clubs, but actually the training, the nutrition, all of the coaching is coming from like an elite level. So they're all competing, you know, against each other for positions. They're, you know, maybe having a mentor apprentice type approach with some of the positions in a similar player. in some of the players in the similar position, excuse me. And there's like two separate paths here. So it's Connacht, it's Leinster. That's what it was 15 years ago, right? Yes. 10 years ago. That's where we're at now. So if Zebre get the quality under 20s, which they have been, and they are getting game time, then they, in 3 or 4 years' time, they're going to pay. They're going to be rewarded with the dividend. So, it's interesting to see sort of how it changes between the two franchises.
I'm going to bring another example. There are players that are not playing at all, like Quattrini. Master Quattrini last year is not playing in Piacenza. There are some issues about probably looks like contract not playing
politics. For that.
Politics around there. But that's the difference. When you play and you don't play, so you stop growing, implementing your game, your skill. It's different training for a year and competing in an official match. I mean, 80 minutes of a game is different than a week of training.
Yeah, no, 100% agree. And you pulled out maybe one of the stars of the under 20s last year as well. You know, captain, Mr. Dependable at line out. Yeah. That's all we need to say. Like, a position that we need all the help that we can get. So hopefully something changes drastically when it comes to transition.
And hey, we didn't speak about the blonde guy, Luigi.
Phantom, you ready?
let's go into the market. Let's go into the market, Kalex.
Let's go fully into the market. Nice transition for that, Alex. Appreciate you.
Yeah, so
go ahead, my friend.
No, you are the Queens fan. You tell me how you feel about it as an Italian and a Queens fan.
As a Queens fan, I'm disappointed because
I agree.
He didn't get game time after an injury, and the few opportunities he's had to play, he's always done something amazing, right? Like I've watched Lewis for years, right? Genuinely years.
He was under 8 when he arrived.
So I think he's been in the academy. Yeah, so he moved
under
over
13 or something.
Yeah. But I've been watching him for years, even at Richmond. I used to work in Richmond. I used to go to the sports ground a lot. He's a brilliant player. And he has bundles of potential. Like, I'm not saying he's immediately a test player, because I think actually that's naive to think that he's just going to walk into a national side. But I think he has the potential to be a very, very good player. I'm really interested to see what our plans are for him. I think I saw a lot of people on Reddit say, oh, it'd be interesting to see him at fullback. And I actually sort of agree. He's very good in the air. He's got a decent boot. I don't know how accurate it is. I don't know how good a game reading he has. But for me, there's an opportunity for him to take a wing. And we're getting some good wingers coming through. So competition.
The center, fullback. The good thing about him is that this season he's playing on the left wing. But he is the best lineup. We saw him on the right wing at the moment. Yeah. So that is something
I'm laughing because of the comments straight away. Like,
he will be called up. For France, Gallorini si deve, or we going to some bad stuff. So, of course, Phantom is pushing for to see Lineag against France.
Yeah. So, as an Italian fan,
is it fair for the team?
I was going to say, right? You asked me as a
as an Italian
a Queens fan. As a Queens fan, I'm devastated. As an Italian fan, I am very excited. Like, Quins aren't going to suffer too much from Lewis leaving. Italy and Benetton can like have a massive opportunity here, like as in getting some decent reward out of it. So very happy, my friend. Very, very net happy, let's say. Net happy.
Net happy. Make completely
the title of this week's podcast. Net happy.
Let's talk about the line. I'm going to put in comparison with our wings at the moment. Maybe in this season, he scored 4 tries, Pani 3, Jesse 11. This season, he ran 70 times with the ball, just 8 times less than Pani. 7 clean breaks, 1 more than Pani. Jesse got 16 clean breaks, 15 defenders beaten during this season. Jesse 30, Pani 23. And how many minutes he played this season? Because that, maybe that was an issue. He played 700 minutes. So one game more than Pani and 200 minutes less than Jesse. Juan, of course, this season played 200 minutes. So we're not putting that into the comparison because it's not so much.
Yeah.
These are some couple of stuff. 4 tries, 73% tackle, which is better than Jesse and better than Pani.
I'm going to ask you a question because I know there's a couple of people in our chat, not to mention any names, Luvo, Phantom.
I agree.
Monty.
Yes.
Jesse, argument for and against. Go.
To me, Mori Jesse.
Ioane Jesse Scusa.
Ioane against Jesse. Who you want to see?
So who would you keep at test level and why?
I have two different answers. I'm gonna explain you why. Who you want to see at different highest level. For now, you're going to see Ioane because we only see Ioane. We saw one time Jesse. So when is the right time to put Jesse in? Jesse has to come, for me, against Wales. I don't know why, but I feel that is the game he has to play. I have this weird feeling about that game. I know it's weird, but that's for me the game that he has to start. I know.
I wouldn't be upset if I saw him. I wouldn't be upset. I'd be excited. But also Monty's Monty.
That's the point. Monty's still Monty.
The full Monty.
There's gonna happen sometimes because
you're right.
Mike, you know what I was thinking? Who was the young player that played for Scotland the other day? Yes, of course I am a Phantom. I'm super weird that I still think Brex is a good player, you see? Boom. Put it there.
Oh, this is fun. Alex, if you're still in, Phantom has been bad mouthing your boy Brex. That is all. I'll leave that there for you guys to discuss in the comment.
guys, you have to know that while we are live streaming, they were like going chat on WhatsApp. Come on, come chat with us. Don't be shy. I see Quips and Lupo there. Come on. Patterson, Eduardo. I mean, they put these players in the middle. He's 22 years old, Patterson. He played for Edinburgh, like I like to say. This season, he played four games this season. He played a total of 9 games in his career. 6 as fullback, 3 as a winger. Why the F? We are waiting to try some players there. You know what I mean. Who's Patterson? He can be the best player in the world in 2 years, but who's Patterson?
Well, it's also Dodge, right? Like,
I think so. I think he's the son of oh my God, I don't remember the big Patterson, one of the more elegant players kicking the ball.
It's the perfect.
So nice to see him swinging in that way.
Me and my friends, I remember Chris Patterson very, very well. But there was a season where like he hadn't missed a kick, and then like I remember it was like 40 yards out and stuff. He's like, oh, what to this hoggy, this one. Just because he didn't want to risk his perfect score. Anyway, it's funny. But yeah, I think you're absolutely right. If we're gonna experiment, if we're gonna grow the team, it's the start of the cycle. Now's the time to put in players. However, if it's a winnable game and it's risk, I'm quite risk adverse, but sometimes I suppose you need a gamble, right? Like you keep doing the same things as Crowley said, you get the same results. That's the sad truth. Here we go. Alex. Well, you got to put that
Alex, up. Alex, come join us. It's fine. Yeah.
Well, your blood pressure will go, mate. Like we'll leave it. But yeah, I think now, right, like I want to use Rory Darge as a bit of an analog as well. So Rory Darge was fantastic in the under-20s, captain. People were sort of questioning why he was getting game time ahead of Hamish Watson. Fantastic at the weekend. Like, fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. Fantastic last weekend. Like, he is a genuine test player. And it's because Scotland, partly out of necessity, because they don't have the embarrassment of riches that we have at under 20s, right? We have more people to choose from and stuff. They were like, well, okay, we need to start planning for the future. So they did it at the end of the cycle as opposed to at the start of the cycle, but they've got a test player there for two cycles now. He's potentially going to get through to three World Cups, right? So we need to start looking at the young players and saying, identifying, you know, areas in the summer. Like Six Nations is sanctity, right? Like, we need to try and win games. We need to try and build. But against Tier 2 nations, against, you know, BG, other nations.
Let's go.
Hey, why not? Why not? Hey, what?
No, but if not, he's going to pass another here and we're not going to see him or see other players, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Or, right, let's find out what's happening with Italia.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Let's see. Let's send him to South Africa. Let's send him places.
And that was the famous Franco Smith thing, right?
Good idea.
We played the Toyota Cup.
It was a good
that
idea.
Never happened. Yeah, absolutely. Kalex, just a thing about Ioane playing 14. He was playing 14, but actually was playing on the left wing. So was still playing on his position. I think one time he played completely on the right. I know he got the 14 on the back, but he was playing on the left side anyway. So sometimes they have this weird switch. You know, they put the prop, the tired prop with the number 23 in France, for example. They put 16, 17, and then 23. You know, many times I was scared, like, Ciccarelli 23, what's happening? No. Was from the bench was
comes on a drop goals.
Joel Sclavi 23, no, like fullback Joel Sclavi. I said, what?
Our boy Pecos had he's got a 50 meter drop goal, man, in him, hasn't he?
Man, I can tell you, he spoke with me. I asked him about when he start the fox, how came out the fox. He said about how much time before that game came in and everything. I'm not going to spoil anything because you have to go listen to the pod or watch the pod.
Love that. Love that.
Yeah, the Fox, come on, he was there. Tell me more.
Oh, yeah. That man, that, the knowledge that is in that man's brain. There's not many people who have survived three coaches.
No, right, more. Brunel.
Oh, Brunel as well? Okay, fine. So four coaches.
Right? He came in to play one time because Castro got a red, Cittadini get stuck with the back, so he came in to play, and then he played against Wales and was in the field in the group last game of Castro. So Brunello, Shi, Franco Smith, Crowley, Quesada, five.
That's mad.
And only 35 caps. Thanks, Carlos.
Fair play to him. Hey, and let's be honest, right? We're in a position now where he's gone abroad. He's got experience from loads of different, like, top level coaches, and it's good that we have players with experience in the team, because we lack players with experience in the team. You know, 35 caps, whatever, right? But he's played everywhere, like you said. He's been the travelling prop, and he's done well. So, yeah, good on Checo. Let's see him grow.
It's better to lose. To lose. A scrum or to eat a pizza with pineapple that he said is 100 minus. Well, I'm gonna eat the pizza, so the scrum.
But like Genovese's dad said when he was on, he was like, it's not really a fair question because my boy will eat anything.
Guys, this stuff. Oh my god.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, hey, let's,
I'm with you.
Man, now the market is open. I mean, because I'm thinking, okay, we said about Linag. Happy to see Linag back in Italy, we should say, because he's born in Treviso. He was in Treviso his early life. Girlfriend from Italy. La signora Franchini, if I'm right, his mom is Italian. So,
yes, she is.
Oh, no, Lorenz, we can do better.
Yes, we can do better. But also, I will take maybe losing out on that set piece if Antonio promises to defend like he did against. I'll take it. We'll just run behind him and make 40 yards. They'll win the scrum and make 40 yards. Net even. That's all I'm asking for. If they're going to beat us in the scrum, Antonio, please defend like you did last week. I'm just saying.
Yes, of course. Please go ahead like that, Aldrich. Please keep doing what you did and all the stuff. Yeah, mamma mia, I know where it has to end. That thing one day is gonna end somewhere else. You know, there was a famous torture about this. Put in somewhere. They used to call it the pear. It used to bloom into cavities.
I just want to quickly touch on a market call that Alex put up.
Yes, I'm gonna put it back here. But of course, we are talking about Jack O'King. That is his real name, Jack O'King, aka Giacomo Dare.
O'King. I mean, I think if he was O'King, Ireland probably would have been sniffing for a little while.
Of course, Jack O'King.
Yeah,
Giacomo Dare to Zebres. That's the rumor. But
speculation.
Rumor. Let's speculate about this. Here we go.
So, Otto, go ahead, mate.
Good to see a player that probably is going to find more game time. Seems that so. That mean at the moment they have Tenegi, the younger. Then they have Prisciantelli, which is the favorite playing at 15 at this moment of the field to have a different double playmaking from the back. So you have Montemauri. Ritz is gone for good. Eden is going for good.
Is that fact? Is that speculation?
Man, but I don't think he has a contract longer than two seasons.
So do you think it's like for like? We're seeing Eden potentially go, and we're seeing Darre take his position as third choice.
I think it's a win-win situation there.
Yeah,
you got an Italian qualified player, first of all, in the national team. Anyway, was always around that. What else? Still young.
Yeah, yeah. And Crowley said he was the third best 10 in the country, right? Like, and Crowley knows a thing or two about selection. So, and for what it's worth, right? I know Darre is probably someone who suffered the fact that he got sort of shoehorned into a 10 at 21 years old. They probably should have made the transition sort of 5 years earlier in the under 20s if they were going to do it. But I really like the way he plays. Like, I genuinely really liked the way he plays. I love the fact that he takes it to the line. His anticipation for how he plays is sorry, well, for the attack is second to none. And if you guys go back and listen to what Halafihi said about him in our interview, he said he does stuff that some of the other players can't do. And that's high praise, right? Like in camp, in our Italian camp. So I think it's a really, like you said, it's a win-win move. I think there's good opportunity for the Zebra to uncover a bit of a gem there, you know?
Robert Bebeto. Yes, I was just clicking on All Rugby 2. I said, yes, it's 2025, the contract for Eden. But this season, he didn't see game time. How many minutes he played this season, Eden?
Bagel?
Let me see. My God.
Because he was meant to start and he got injured, didn't? Oh, sorry. He was meant to start, and they said he got injured, and then I don't think he's played since.
He played 117 minutes.
So first two games, right?
Yeah. Two games, November and one in December.
Oh, he did play win. Okay.
He started the win against Sharks and the loss against Cheetahs.
All right. Fair play. Fair play. I mean, it was a heavy loss against Cheetahs. Ah, I remember that game. Never mind. Let's not talk about.
Yeah, but anyway, this can happen. Like release contract, heavy contract. Maybe it's bad. It's good for both. And let's see. And yes, Forza Italia, Forza Azzurri, Daje Forte, always and ever. Let's see this, because this is another situation as number 8, right? Shall we keep playing with Lamaro out of position or putting Lamaro in his right spot? I think Lamaro in the right spot at 7 is the best thing to do now. And man, Vincent Alavi, bring both and see what's going to happen. For now, they see also Favretto as a back row. But yes.
Yeah, I'm 150% in agreement. Halafihi is a brilliant player. Like, he is an absolutely brilliant player. I'd love to see him called up. And like you said, right, Lamaro looks like it should work in face value, right? Because you see, like, a player with good hands, and it's almost like a loose forward in rugby league. Like, we talked about Tizzano a lot, right? Mm-hmm. Last year.
That's true.
One of the biggest things I liked about him, apart from his abrasiveness, is the fact that he could pass with both hands, right? It looks like it should work, but it doesn't. It just doesn't work. So, like, I'll hold my hands up. Like, Lamaro, I think, stick to your position, because you're fantastic there. But we need a specialist eight. I'm big advocate of specialist eight.
So Vincent is the specialist at the moment, really fast. Yep. Depending how we're gonna balance this back row, we see how it's important when Negri charge. Who's gonna charge in this? If we put, for example, this now that Phantom put, which is a fair team to play against France, quick and with everything. But you put Lamaro back, you're gonna put Zuliani from the bench, starting to play again the best that he can do.
Yeah. The problem is, right, it's the returns. So Seba will run 1,000 times, and he will run 1,000 times to make a meter. Like, and he'll, the volume of the carries that he goes through isn't, you know, line breaking like some of the other players that might run and you know, bust the line and make some decent yards. He's literally non-stop going to suck in defenders. That's his job, right? That's his role, right? Like, he needs to make a dent, like, force people to tackle him. I don't think we have other players that can do that as effective as he can in our team. Maybe Cannone, big Cannone. If when he carries, it takes a couple of defenders to take him out, right? But not at the level, the volume that Netseb goes through. So if we're looking at the back row we just spoke about, Izikor, Vincent, Lamaro, it's all of them. It's the answer. To make up for what we're lacking in Seb, all of them have to carry. Like, all of them have to find something, right? Not at the same time, obviously, but, like, they need to, yeah, all of them need to chip in, because I think we're going to struggle otherwise.
Let's see, but because here I see Rats a little bit more disappointed about Lamaro and Alafi, but the point is, if they don't play, who's going to play? We're going to put Zebre players in? I'm happy with it, but we have to be ready to also to not start blaming as crazy if a player is going to mess a game or just not having the best debut. No? Talking about Giacomo Ferrari, no? Because he was one of the players in the team. Licata is injured, because if not, that's something that we have to do better and better with Licata. Licata was somebody that, in theory, was a prospect, but we see a lot of injuries just before the main important game situation. I don't know how to say the international collapse. Let's say
he was touted to be an Italian captain. Like, people thought he was going to be the next Italian captain, right? Like, he was very held in very high regard, and he's a great player. Like, he's a great player. But yeah, I think if we're looking on the point, right, Halafi, he was just, you know, we look at last Six Nations, and this is actually maybe where our stat men can come in, right, with Ottavio and Lucio. I'm pretty sure he was one of the top post-meter contact carriers in the Six Nations last year, from memory, right? He was abrasive. He did the dog work. He's just a busy player. And I'm not saying our back row aren't busy, but he's more effective, like, based on what I've seen, right? Bad game. Everyone deserves a second chance, but should he be called up into camp? Yes, he should be called up into camp. Whether he should go straight into a game or not, that's a different question. But yeah, absolutely should be called up in my eyes.
And here they already, he's calling for Tizzano. Worth. So careful, he's gonna work. Poledri technically is injured, Vincenzo. We don't know more. There's a lot of speculation around. We're gonna just leave the media selling their views and see what's gonna happen later on. Yes, to click a little bit there with a hook and a worm. Sometimes not, but still,
yeah,
we cannot think about Poledri at the moment. Think about also game time and stuff like that. But whew, Izegor never gained the ball. Yes, of course, he never get the ball. But we never get the ball in our hands.
We have to have possession. We have to have possession to have the ball.
That's the point, right? Having more possession stuff.
Have the ball. of course.
Okay, if Phantom call for Tizzano is going to come. So let's start. Put Alex, all your...
2022. You're right, Alex. Yeah.
2022. Let's see what's that. But hey, let's see there, because who can be another qualified for Italy that we need a number 8 at the moment? Nobody else.
So I think if we're looking
big names,
at prospects, we've got Andreani, we've got Ferrari. Andreani obviously injured, but Ferrari, Tizzano, we've got Vincent capped now. He needs to get game time.
Soon Botturi can be a good one because he's a good player, I think.
I'm trying to think of Jack Ferrari's.
Jack Ferrari, 6'8". I would like to see him 6.
Ferrari, Vincent, who was the other? Andreani, never mind.
Andreani. But Ferrari was playing also back lock.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, no. I was trying to work out who the other back row was, but it was Vincent Andre. That 2021 under 20s year was perfect, wasn't it? It was brilliant. Yeah. Ruggeri, Bianchi.
Orazio, of course, they are not at that level, but we have to let them grow and see. Not all the players are ready at 22. Somebody are ready at 24. We need somebody 28 years old and be good. Think about Lamba. Dino Lamba is 25 already, 26, I think. Yeah. But è buono come il pane, Mr. Dino. No? So, of course, Gazzotti, boys. Gazzotti, Italo, Lithuanian, French, triple passport. And of course, and Favretto, guys. Favretto is young. And then let's see where he's going to be his real position. Because probably that is a situation, right, to think about.
Excuse me.
He's going to be a lock, number 8. once he starts to specialize one thing, he's gonna get better. I think.
I think honestly, I've had this discussion a lot. I think we just keep him at lock. Like, I think if
with
we
those
have
pointy knees running around,
I'm gonna check now. I'm pretty sure he's 196 centimeters from memory. Right, this isn't. Right, I'm pretty sure. I'm gonna have a look now. Rugby.
Yeah, Marini is the other good prospect coming. But guys, let's talk about like now.
Sorry,
today.
2 meters.
No, he's one of the few players hired as 2 meters because we don't have a lot of them.
He's 22 years old. Why aren't we playing him at lock? Like that's my eyes, right? We've got so many back rowers. Yes, it's nice to have, as Eddie Jones says, a 10, a 4, and a 6, right? Get out.
Get out.
Little ball, get out. No.
Get out. Let's see, man. I want to see the shot shield this year to see what's going to happen against the Australian, Fijian, Pacificans. It's going to be interesting to see him.
Yeah, hopefully he goes like a man possessed. Ball in one hand. Just, yeah.
Douche.
just like from the 22 starts his descent to try and like put the ball down over the line.
Yeah. And then start the Goonies.
Oh,
man, today I'm doing the best.
Like that.
Man, today I'm going to push the best of me from the pear that opened and blooming. Ciao, Phantom. Ciao.
But yeah, I think locks would be an interesting one because we did have some really nice locks in the under 20s. I think most of them have gone to France, right? We've got
Ortombina there. We have Gritti there. It's a lock. Six.
Mattioli went there as well, right?
Mattioli Racing 92. So we have some names there. Some others are going to come.
Who's the one that went to Benetton and then left? He was really good.
Which of the good ones?
No. He got. I don't know if he's still there or not. If he went
Piantella.
Piantella, that's it.
Yeah, Piantella is Zebre now.
Okay, cool. Okay, that's good. Yeah, he was at Benetton though, right?
Yes. Cool. Young him, Andreoli. Andreoli, I think he's playing with Mogliano at the moment. So, but anyway, you see, but. For now, we have those players, and the situation is still hard. But if we're going to have some good news around from other... yes, that's the point. Those are not the... They're good prospects, but now, as I'm saying, Orazio...
Cannoncino
is good, but we need more now, and who we have to play there. Ligata is injured. Vincent Ferrari, Favretto can be the option if they want to play like that. And see. Turrisi, true tired locals in France. Yes, we have a lot of those guys. Just to be good.
Well, we also had Aseratti, but he's been capped.
Keylon Aseratti.
Yeah, so...
Who's going to play for against Leinster? Odogu, no, Ratave Mendy Padovani, of course, but next year, who's going to be the 14 and the 11?
Ratave Mendy Padovani, it has to be, right?
Yeah, but next year, next season.
Ah, right.
Laina Godogu, 11-14, yes.
Mendy, when does his contract end? Because I assume he's probably getting looked at by some, like, he suits the French game more than he suits the Benetton game, right?
Ignacio Mendy, let me check now his contract. Let's see if Robert is faster than me this time. And I can tell you a little bit more. So he has a 2024 only. Wow.
Yeah, so
don't tell
makes
me
sense.
At the end of the season.
Yeah, it makes sense. So realistically, we're probably going to have a couple of... Let's prepare ourselves for...
No, 2025.
Okay, so it's 2024 plus one, probably, yeah?
Yeah.
So he has...
Man, okay. You know who's is ending at the end of the season? Ratave. But, man, but makes sense, because he's 31 years old. you sell it now, you get some money back, and you get a good one. You get Gallagher, you know? This...
It's like part exchange. It's like a car.
My God.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Oh, there we go. I'm sure he probably would, in fairness.
Ciao, Sol. Seb, a day, if you want to crash harder ball, yes, Seb is the right one. But, man, think about it. So, one thing I said on the Italian chat, no, on my chat, like, do you realize how good is for Quesada? It's bad and good, but there were issues about we want to see playing better Idzegor, we want to see Zuliani playing there, and then the injuries came in the right moment to give opportunity, forcing opportunities to those players without putting in under pressure Quesada more than already he had.
Yeah, that's because a really good point.
So he can do this stuff, so we can see as a fan some player trying to perform at international level. For injuries, we have these opportunities. For me, this is, in a sense, Quesada is really lucky to have this just now at the beginning of this cycle, to have these situations.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And like you said, it was almost like the perfect storm, right?
Right. Yeah.
But then also it's up to the players to take the opportunity.
Exactly. So it's going to be interesting to see Zuliani, you know, how he's going to react after this couple of games where defense was really good last week. But we want to see the catching, the juggling of Zuliani. We want to see not the ball falling from his hands because he's not dildo hand, how you call him? Who's dildo hand? Haskell.
Haskell, yeah.
Come James on, Haskell. Today we put also dildo hand in the middle.
but my point is, right, you've hit the nail on the head, but a small change in role, right, because obviously Lamaro's the one that normally plays the ball, and Lamaro's the one that normally gets the ball, and to his credit, he was doing that, but also it almost seemed like Zuliani's, he was a bit confused about what he was meant to be doing on the field. Like, I said this at the time, if you're going to be a dummy runner, you always expect the ball. How many times did he have his hands up and he knew he was a dummy runner, but they chose him as an option and it just didn't go right?
Yeah. And to come back to the Ireland game, that big tackle by McCarthy on Gerbisi is because he reads so well the body position of Cannone putting the ball in that way, but without faking, the run was fake. They didn't buy it because they're used to playing that way. Whoever forward of Ireland you put there, he knows how to pull back pass, flat pass, and keep the ball after the fake. So yeah. Why they are so good for that reason, Claudio, buonasera. But
yeah. Well, like you said, I think it's because we were trying to play Ireland at their own game, a game that they have developed many. You know Bane in Batman. He's like, I was molded by. They molded that game. Yeah, well, they molded that game. We were only slowly introduced to it because it suits our style of play. But
it's been years, like probably 10 years. George Meade, Farrell, through my cat there. So.
Ah, Lorenzo, coming in with the dagger to my heart, my friend.
Boom.
Yeah.
Imagine just that. Let's give them the scrum. But just keep at least the line out to play around. Yeah. It's a big thing there.
My friends were messaging me when we were in Rome, right? And they were like, what's going on? And I said to them, I was like, we're not going to win games against the best team if our lineup doesn't work. And I think we had a 75% last week, I think.
Oh, sorry, wasn't so good like we want to.
But this was 50%? I can't remember. I was going through it, it was lower. No, and our attacking platforms were a lot worse, right?
Yeah, but tomorrow night, probably I'm going to be on Fratelli di Rugby speaking in English with the analysis. So I'm going to give more data, more videos to show.
Statman. But yeah, like I think you hit the nail on the head, Lorenzo. Sadly, right? We will not beat the best teams if we don't have a functioning lineup. And you know, you can almost get away with having a crappy scrum in the right positions in the pitch if you have a lineup that works very, very well. Because obviously you could steal ball back and stuff, but we had a okay scrum in the second half. We still had no lineup. So like why would they be afraid to play it out, because they know when they kick it out it's going to be net positive for them, like in every single opportunity. That's the issue.
It is. But for example, yes, they're one of the weakest spot, but last Six Nations Seoul, we were the second best team for line out. So let's give Italy and Ruzza what is of Ruzza, no?
Ruzza was the second best.
No, so last season, last Six Nations. Trust me, go look at the stats. There is a good report. The Six Nations reports are available for everybody. You have just to go on World Rugby and you can find the report. And you're going to see something. And of course, BG. But BG, why is not BG there? I think because, like Morisi, they're going to keep only somebody that can be really different from the other ones. And what Brex is bringing. Why I'm saying Brex? Because he's the only plus 30 years old with Allan that we have. Brex is the best puller passer that we have. It's another playmaker there. No, I'm sorry, because Mr. Phantom is out and Kalex too, but Brex is still fundamental for our game, because in theory we need 12 and 13 able to do that quick, fast.
Yeah, this is the point, right? It's not always like that player played bad, let's swap them. It's who do we have to replace them? That's the question, right? That needs to get answered. But I think with the discussion we were having earlier, and this is a question for the chat more than anything, do you guys think Brex, like, do you guys personally see Brex as, for now, a structurally, like, significant, structurally important player for us? Like, or do you think players like Zanon, players like Lukin, for example, come in and potentially, you know, do a job there?
Zan, let's see what's gonna say. But for now, still, Brex is Brex. The Brexit is around the corner for the age, but let's say it was gonna happen. But anyway, Mike, what's gonna be next week? That is interesting, no? We're gonna have more news about the market. We're gonna have two key games for a young Zebre team and a different strong Benetton team against Leinster.
Yep.
And let's see what's going to happen. So, busy week.
Yeah, I think I'd like to see the players that were in camp get game time, the ones that didn't play.
So, I hope they're going to put more dubs in Quesada choices, right? Like playing the best they can.
Need to make it as difficult as possible for them, right? So, yeah, I think it's going to be an interesting one. I mean, who are your predictions for next week? Like, let's go into that then.
Man, that's hard. I want to see. Man, can Benetton win this game like a crazy? Maybe yes, but really tight game in Dublin. They're missing some key players anyway. Conan, Seran Frawley, Ring Rosensho. So the experience is going to be maybe the experience about age and stuff on the Benetton team, but it's going to be still hard. They're gonna have Ngatai at 12, I suppose. One of the O'Brien playing at 10 and stuff like that. But I want to see both win and probably Degen's niche victory if they gonna show what they are. Still, Benetton and Zebra can fight. The most interesting game between the two is going to be Edinburgh Zebra, my opinion. More open, more crazy, more Foggia style, Zemanlandia, Zebrelandia.
More passion, more footwork,
more energy, and on the other side, a lot of kicks. Kicks,
yeah,
pushing them there with defense. So,
yeah, mate. I'm 100% on board with that train. I think Zebra have a really good opportunity here, like really, really good opportunity. So, as long as they don't, as long as they don't potentially see it as Edinburgh, because it's going to be a depleted Edinburgh, and they don't let the occasion come to them. Their young side, like we've still got players like Nocera who haven't made an appearance. No. Who need game time, right? So, be good to see how he fares, and maybe he can stake a claim as well. So. I think we're in a good spot next week.
Yeah, here, guys, the chat is crazy. This is a couple of quotes from a couple of movies. I'm going to give you this movie, L'Allenatore del Pallone, with Lino Banfi, Mike.
Right.
You have to try the Bizzona. Those are the stuff. But I'm going to just try to answer this. We need to know we have other options there. They function. If Brax get injured, for example, then what? A 12 or a 13 that can do that kind of move.
We don't have it really.
Gerbisi Marin.
Oh, there we go, Lupo. Your this is your nightmare. You've asked the question. We put Manoncello at 13. We bring Mighty Marin back in. The whale hunter, the whale slayer.
The whale slayer. The ice in the vein dropper.
The flu boy beat whales, man. And he, well, yeah, mate. We can, you know what? Let's put Marion at loosehead. Let's just see what you can do.
And let's put Mauro Bergamasco at 9.
Yeah, mate. Nothing could go wrong with that. Joking aside, right? Playmaker at 12 is, you know, people complain about the dual playmaker. We are distinctly worse without two playmakers. Distinctly. Alan then, last week was exceptional.
But if we want to play with two strong carriers, okay, let's go. But we need to work hard for those two carriers too, because they have to carry the ball. But it's easier to defend on one line, not for the defense.
Oh yeah, I mean unless you've got some sort of beast in backfield,
and or overlap like crazy. But okay, Modi push Ben, but let's see where he's going. And this is interesting. I think we can wrap it up on this, Mike. I expect for me a total mains revolution after the Six Nation calling, in calling and role changes. He's gonna arrive there. That's probably really on. Spot on, because the quesada is just starting, no? The quesadism.
Actions are what I'm interested in. Actions. Yeah. We've heard too many words from many coaches. Actions.
This is a classic from him. Every time he's in the field, he does that. Also, when he's playing for Toulouse or for Grenoble, he was a former 9, so he knows how to keep the ball with everything. But anyway, 1 hour 28 minutes in, more than a game.
Yeah.
Thanks everybody to stay with us today. See you next week on Monday for the review. Maybe the weekend we're gonna be live for some watch along, depending on our families how busy they are, because sometimes it's that. If there is sun, probably I'm gonna be out. And watch this, it's really interesting. Pietro Ceccarelli, 10 minutes English and the rest in Italian, but a lot of good stuff. So give us a like, follow, share, listening us everywhere. And rate us on Spotify. Help us rating us on Spotify, guys.
Guys, on Otto's point, if you guys give us a like and, you know, a share, if you guys have got any sort of rugby WhatsApp chats, makes a massive difference to us. And obviously we've been getting some really good engagement since we started really in May, but like the past few weeks have been like brilliant. So if you want to help us out, just give us a like, give us a share, and rate us.
Send us a message on Instagram if you want to join the WhatsApp chat, because it's funny. We have some good people saying ciao and grazie, so grazie, grazie.
Pietro Ceccarelli, Perpignan and Italian national player. Pietro, welcome, thank you, and how are you?
I'm very well, thank you, and thank you to host me, and let's go.
So let's go, because we're going to speak for a few minutes in English, but then we're going to speak almost in Roman later on, because we have that Roman connection there. Then we're going to dig in it in few minutes. So I'm going to go straight like an eye tackle. I'm going to go there, hopefully not a sin bin, but you just came back, because today is Monday, 12th of February, and a couple of tough days in the office for a prop and in general for Italy in Ireland, right?
Yes, it was tough. A tough game. I think it was tough for everybody, not only in front, but personally, is for me, is the scrum. So I'm a bit like disappointed. And we just have to work now again and back at
reset.
Back at the office, reset, and one doesn't kill you, make you stronger. So
that's true. And I think it's interesting, because now you're gonna take 2 weeks out, kind of like before France, before the next international matches. So maybe like staccare la spina, as we said, no, like having time to think something else. Maybe it helps too.
Surely, I think yes. The guy from Trevis and Zebre, some of the guys are resting, so he's good also for the body. For me, and I think the French guy and also the English guy that playing like abroad,
yes,
we have to be back at the club and be ready to play with the club. So it's something that maybe it can help you, because you think something else than Italy and then the results, but it's hard for the body and it's hard for the mind too.
Yeah, it seems like when you play abroad, they're just waiting you now to come back, just to push you back in.
Exactly.
for the next game.
Right? In tomorrow morning.
Ah, tomorrow morning. Ouch. You're good. So if you're telling me tomorrow morning, so no injuries, nothing, everything was good.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah.
Great.
Everything.
So, you said about the scrum. No, it's one of the hardest area of the field, of course, to referees in general, but also to understand if nobody has been a prop before. That's something really different. And you are one of the less foul props that we have at the moment, because I saw that you have like 4 or 5 penalties along the whole season with Perpignan, at least the stats say that. It seems good. So it's something that, of course, some days good, some days not so good.
It depends on the position, truly. I think this time the Ireland team studies us very well. So they played very well in the scrum, and it was tough. But yes, it's something that is very difficult. Is a little art inside the field, so it's a battle in the game, because you also
battle in the battle.
Yeah, it's a battle in the battle. So it's something that I like a lot, because for me, like I say that every time. For me, like when you win a scrum, it's like a try.
So it's good. Absolutely, that's good. Listen, you're gonna have the next weeks in front of you, and of course, I'm thinking about your years at Edinburgh, right? So with Piers Koeman, for example, was one of the players that you remember since you were like younger, let's say. You're not old. You're still a young player. But
how you see, for example, when you play against him, like there is a little bit more of banter when you play against
players. Yeah,
like
it's fun. It's funny every time. Yeah, because we know each other very well and we are friends, so it's nice to play against. And every time you have something more, like it's funny because you talk a little bit, you try to, you know how to work against him, so it's nice. It's give you something more.
Who is a prop that has a really long tongue that you listen? Maybe you don't understand him sometimes speaking, but you see he's in front of you and speak.
Never yeah, stop. This year is the prop from Oyonna, Tommy Renault.
Okay,
and, from Oyonna. Yeah, I know him well because I played 1 year in Oyonna with him. Okay. And he's talking a lot. He's from near Perpignan. I think he's from Narbonne. And they are talking a lot, and he's talking a lot in the scrum.
Trash talker.
No, he's just during the game, like he's talking, he's saying something, and he's strange, he's funny.
Okay, just kind of a Joe Marler too is like that, because we saw sometimes a lot of clips about him being a joker in the field, but it's pretty not much. The same. It seems
it's
like
not the same. It's not the same. It's not the same way. It's not the same way.
That's really funny. So you're gonna meet again, of course, Pozzolo Tuilagi this week. How is training with him? That probably is gonna be some banter this week when each other.
When you train against him, you hope that he's not in the team that he's against. Yep.
Seems like yeah, a big tough guy. But hey, talking about Perpignan, it's your another move in the French to another French club. Now you're going more south, where also your family's your mom's origin is from Dedera, right?
No, my mom's origin is from Nice.
Nice. Okay, so yeah. south, deep south. But moving from Brive to Perpignan, which is the big difference that you can see? Moving from that side to Perpignan?
I'll show you the people. People, because the Catalan are very proud of, like, they have a lot of culture. Catalan culture is amazing. And it's amazing because I like how they are. I like the stadium. And also, they are very proud of the Catalan culture. So it's something incredible. It's like, I think they are more like Catalan than French, surely.
That's true. So they almost sing in Catalan and French when they have to.
They sing in Catalan. We have a song. The name is the Estaca. They put that every time before the game, and it's a Catalan song.
That's amazing. How is this season of meeting? Coming back to play with another Italian in the team with Tommy Allen, how you think it's going this season for the USAP? Seems like it start with up and under, let's say.
We change that, so we have a new staff. Frank Azema, the coach, is new, so the game plan I think is new, and we were I think 9 players at the World Cup. And I think when you change everything, it's hard to
get on track,
to
kind
put
of
everything
right.
together, to have something that is working from the beginning. So we see that the things start to work after it starts to work after the fourth game. So now we are going every time better.
Last couple of questions in English, and then we're going to switch to Italian. You spoke about coaches and going back to the national team. You've been so many times through different coaches, Conor O'Shea, Franco Smith, Kieran Crowley, now Gonzalo Quesada. How is going with Gonzalo Quesada? Because you didn't spend a lot of time with him and the staff, because actually the players abroad, like you and other ones, they met each other. Maybe how long you've been?
No, he came here in Perpignan.
Oh, great.
1 month before the start of the Six Nations, so we met each other here, and it was very good because he showed you how much he cared about meeting the player. And no, he's doing very well. Like, he had plenty of new idea, plenty of new objective, I think.
And, yeah. And goals.
New goals, is a new mindset. So, no, it's positive, very positive.
That's great. But as you said, with Frank Azema, everything changed with the players not being there. So I think we're gonna see the real, like, the spirit of Quesada, the mindset and everything coming stronger game after game, and
it's normal. It's normal because we had only, I think, 3 days before the Six Nations, the first week of preparation of the Six Nations. So we still we're still learning, we're still understanding. So it's normal that it's coming stronger day by day, training by training, game by game. It's normal.
Great. So for me, for now, in English is everything. So parliamo in italiano, Pietro.
Dai,
ecco, queste sono le spot.
Dai. Grazie a tutti.
Oh, that's it, Mike. Ci vediamo Peace. Settimana prossima.
Ciao.
So let's go with our music.